Welcome back, everyone, to the Tech Less podcast. I'm your host, April Rust, and this is episode 3 of our new mini-series, Live More, Earn More. In today's episode, I'm going to give you some tips on how to overcome the 4 core mindset beliefs to improve your workload and start living more. One of my favorite quotes sums up how important mindset is to our success. And it goes like this: whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And that was by the infamous Henry Ford. And as woo-woo as it sounds, mindset is the number one factor to meeting our goals in life. Our beliefs and mindsets have the power to lead us to where we want to go. And likewise, they also have the power to completely derail us from the person that we were always meant to be. Unfortunately for most of us, we have been told or learned certain beliefs about ourselves, often out of a need for survival, that self-sabotage our efforts to reach our goals. We can call this our inner talk track or even our inner saboteurs. I want to unpack this topic a little more and let you in on what you can do to overcome it. So the good news is we do have the power to recognize these patterns and change them over time. So let's start off with what even are the 4 core mindset limiting beliefs. The first one is the overwhelmed story. I don't know how to go after what I want. Where do I even start? I personally can relate to that one, where there might be something that I want, but I don't even know how to start. And I let that hold me back. Instead of being resourceful, I might just make that excuse deep down somewhere in my mind, and I let that stop me. The second one that I also definitely relate to is the perfectionist story. I don't have it all figured out and perfect yet. Otherwise known as it needs to be perfect or I'm afraid to fail. That one often shows up for me when, yes, I'm taking action, but I'm really procrastinating the thing that I actually want, because I'm so focused on making it perfect that I spend my time in all these little things and little distractions and activities, when really I just need to work on that one thing that's going to get me to where I need to go. Number 3, the I'm not enough story. I don't even know if I'm capable of doing this. That also shows up a lot for me. That's where we're doubting ourselves. You might have experienced, you know, one day feeling so confident in your abilities and the next day doubting whether you even are up for the task. I know that shows up a lot in tech. It's imposter syndrome's evil stepsister. And the last one, the comfort story. I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I don't even have the time. If only I had the time, I would do that thing. I would go after my dream, etc. And like I said, there is good news here, and we do have the power to recognize these patterns and to change them over time. One technique that I like to use is the ABC model. A, standing for activating event. B, standing for the belief, and C, standing for consequence. You can begin to better understand how your beliefs influence your emotions and behaviors. This is especially important in the context of maximizing your income, impact, and overall improving your workload and your life outside of work, which all require clarity and courage. And oftentimes, we're blocked from seeing clearly and we feel stuck and don't take action because of those four core beliefs that I mentioned just now. So I'll give you an example from my own life of using ABCs to gain better understanding of some of the stories that we tell ourselves. And then also one thing you can start today to give yourself an opportunity not to fall in to autopilot. So an example from my own life, this was a few years ago. I was a Salesforce project manager for a technology consulting firm. And as many of our listeners know, in the tech industry, it's very easy to take on more and more work, particularly in consulting. So for me, an example of an activating event was an email that would come in from a client asking for certain information, maybe asking for a new request that wasn't something I could quickly turn around for them. You know, and by quickly, I mean 1 minute, 2 minute type of reply. It might have required me to coordinate with different team members. It might have required me to analyze the impact on the, you know, the schedule and whether it was even in scope and the budget and validate those numbers with the team, right? It was something a little bit more complicated that I could answer in just a minute or two or even less than 5 minutes. And this even happens a lot to this day, right? Like the activating event isn't necessarily something we have control over. And I think we see so often that there's this goal or there's this idea that we're going to be able to remove all of the activating events, all of the triggers, all of the stressors from our lives. When really we need to be looking more at how can we reduce, you know, the effect those events have on how we experience the moment. So that was the activating event, is this email from a client. The beliefs that would come up or the talk tracks that I would have went something to the tune of, oh goodness gracious, not now. Well, I've got to answer this or else they'll think I'm completely incompetent. They might even take me off this project. I won't get that promotion. All this work will have just been for nothing. And I'm sure there's more there of not feeling good enough, of maybe not even knowing where to start. And I'm also sure there's probably some of the perfectionist story in that as well. And without the awareness, the consequence of all of this, or the resulting action, if you want to think about it rather as the resulting action or the resulting behavior, was that I would add whatever work it was to my plate for the same day turnaround. I would stay up late working. I would miss seeing my friend for dinner, or I would miss whatever I might have planned that day, whether it was a walk on the beach with myself or seeing a friend or family member. And I felt absolutely exhausted and resentful. And that process alone of understanding the trigger, understanding the talk track or the stories that I was telling myself, and then understanding the resulting behavior started to give me a better understanding of how my beliefs influenced my behaviors. And for you, if you can start to think about your ABCs, it can offer the same awareness to you so that then you can intercept them and create new habits. Without understanding to some degree the stories and our default behavior, implementing new systems becomes very difficult to sustain. So as I mentioned, the activating event and the belief might not change. It's probably unlikely that the activating event will change unless you change your environment. I think the belief will change over time, or it might become a little less loud, might be dimmed over time, or perhaps over time altogether it will disappear. I haven't gotten to that point in my journey. But what we do have control over is we have control over the consequence. We have control over the resulting behavior. So when your next activating event comes up and your next inner talk track of your lovely brain hits play, you can actually hit pause. You can acknowledge the belief. You can also acknowledge that that might not be the truth with capital T, that that might not be reality, and that that worst case scenario might actually be highly unlikely. And you can decide for yourself to act differently. In my example earlier, instead of automatically accepting the new request, I learned to take a pause and remember, number one, I don't have to respond immediately. If I'm feeling anxious or stressed, that's a pretty good indicator that I might need to take a pause, take a step away, take a 5-minute break to respond, or even wait to make a decision until I'm in a better state of mind. Perhaps once I'm more calm, I can come back, I can evaluate the request, I can check my availability, I can prioritize, and once I come up with a suitable time frame to work on the request, if it's again even something I should be working on, I can check back in with that client to see if that would work for them. And I'm happy to say, 8 times out of 10, that works. We'll cover the prioritization, the boundary setting, and other tools in future episodes. What I want you to take away from this episode is that the systems and the technical skills, those are the easy parts of the process. It's breaking through the mental roadblocks. It's understanding our mindset limitations that we've discussed earlier. Those are the things that stop us from implementing the tools we learn. It's not that we don't know how to prioritize. It's not that we need to continuously learn the new hack for productivity. That's the core challenge. Rather, the core challenge is that when we go to implement those things, intangibles arise that cause us to have self-doubt, that cause us to feel like we're not enough, that give cause and give fear for us to advocate for ourselves. And that's what we're focused on here in this episode, and that's the key takeaway I want you to have from these 15 minutes or so together. So when in doubt, practice your ABCs. I'd encourage you to do a reflection where you think about some of the key events that activate you, that make you feel stressed out, that make you feel anxious in your day-to-day work life. Categorize those. Reflect on what does your inner talk track sound like when those things come up. Reflect on when those things come up, how have you usually responded? And are you okay with that? Do you feel resentful? Do you wish you would have responded differently? And make a promise to yourself. Next time that comes up, I'm going to hit pause. I'm going to do a 1-minute lap around the house or a 1-minute lap around the office. I'm going to go drink some water. And maybe I won't even reply immediately. Maybe I'll go back to doing whatever I had planned to do during that time block. But again, when in doubt, practice those ABCs. Come up with your pause action so you can respond out of alignment and not out of habit from an old belief that no longer serves you. Next week, we will learn how to discern your non-negotiables and nice-to-haves in the workplace so that you can love your job or list it, and so that you can have a compass during your next job search. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Less Podcast. If you found value, I welcome you to leave a 5-star review. And if and when you're ready, here's how I can help. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button to this podcast for tips and tricks on navigating your career and well-being in the tech industry. You can also follow me on LinkedIn for content on career growth, delivery excellence, improving your workload, and your work-life balance. And lastly, if you would like one-on-one support in navigating how to improve your workload, increase your income, and your impact, hit me up on LinkedIn in the DMs to learn more. I'm grateful that you are in this corner of the internet. I'm grateful you are part of this community, and I'm wishing you a great rest of your week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.